This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 212. Man, that's a big number. Of What Did You Watch This Week? This is Mike.
God. This medium just really doesn't work for your boisterous introductions, because when you do it, it just comes across as like...
I don't know. I think it works. Nice. On your end, you mean?
Yeah, when I'm listening to it, that's all I hear is... Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Do you watch stuff?
This week I did, yes.
I watched stuff too. Excellent. All right, so that's the show.
I was worried for a second there.
I managed to watch quite a bit of stuff. Not all new stuff. Kate and I finished Bless This Mess.
Yep.
I looked it up because I wonder when season 3 is going to come out, or when. And I didn't realize, we watched the season 2 final episode, and it aired 3 days prior to us watching it. So I didn't realize I was watching a current show and we were catching. You know what I mean? I didn't know it was still actively on right now. I thought it was something that had been on, and so. But I give it a good hard sell. I enjoy it. I enjoy the comedy. I think it's funny. I like it a lot. There's only 26 episodes, I think, on Hulu. So at a half hour, 21 minutes a pop, it's not a hard catch up.
Damn. 26 episodes. That's a lot.
Well, the first season was 6 episodes and the second season was 20. So.
I thought you were going to say 13 and 13. That's really off balance there. The first season, they were give us 6 episodes. And they were like, my God, this is so good. Triple it.
Well, I know. Doesn't that seem weird? It's you know what? We're going to use it a mid-season replacement. We'll just order 6, see if we like it. And then, we did. So we'll give it a full season pickup. That is very unnormal.
But that's unusual. Even more than a full season. Full seasons aren't 20 episodes anymore. They're 13.
That's true. That is kind of true. I don't know. I think network shows are still pretty lengthy on
the CW whole shit is.
Okay. CW, everything they put on the CW is just too teenage drama for me right now. Except for Legends, yeah. But even this week's was a little bit of sisterhood with the, them creating their own... sorority, but we'll get to that eventually. I went back and I watched 3 episodes from Supernatural season 13 because I had stopped watching at the mid-season break or the Christmas break, whatever you want to call it, with Supernatural. Yeah, the last episode I had watched was actually the first one back, which was Wayward Sisters. And I hadn't watched any since then, so I watched 3. So I got to finish season 13, watch season 14, and right now they're in season 15, which is the final season, because I figured I might as well finish it. So.
But you're still enjoying it?
Yeah, actually, I haven't watched it in so long. There was a couple groan-worthy parts, but I haven't watched it in so long that it was kind of nice. It's all right. And this one episode where there's basically this FBI agent who's been abducting people in remote areas that don't have much family. And he then auctions them off to monsters, vampires or werewolves or whatever you want to call it. He auctions them off, their body parts and this and that.
Okay.
And apparently this is the dark web version of monsters were supernatural. Because this FBI is like, makes the comment, is like, you know, how many monsters do you think there are out there? And Sam's like, oh, I don't know, whatever. And he's like, it's bigger than that. He's like, yeah, he goes, and he's like, so what? We deal with these monsters all the time. And he's basically like, well, you deal with the monsters that can't seem to control themselves. But these monsters, it's almost like if you look at the British class system, except that they're all like vampires, except they have these upper echelon vampires that are able to live their life, but they live it in secret, and they walk around with people just like you and me, and you don't know that they're monsters, like horseshit like that. So I don't know if they're going to expand. I don't know if they're going to expand on that topic, or if they're going to, if it was just like for that episode.
Okay. I gotcha.
Oh, hold on, my gripe. So of course Sam gets kidnapped and they're auctioning Sam off, and someone pays like $500,000 for Sam's heart. And of course Dean saves him at the last minute. But at no point did I think Sam was in peril. Had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, I knew there was still 2.5 seasons left of the show. It's the fact that it's one of the Winchesters. And yeah, they kill the Winchesters, but they're gonna die in a big dramatic way and then get brought back to life somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So we
all know how this works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's put someone in threat and in peril that I don't care about, or that is just an assumed throwaway character, maybe I'll be concerned. But even then, really. let's talk about the rookie.
Yeah, this was another one like last year with a giant cliffhanger dick move season finale.
Do you remember what I said last week?
You said a lot of stuff last week.
About the rookie.
No, I don't.
Okay. So what I said last week was, we were talking about it, and we talked about like how Nolan, you know, recognizes that the Aaron there says Armstrong before she knows that he's there, and then she turns and sees him, and Armstrong kills the rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go, oh, geez, Armstrong must have been a dirty cop. And I said, yeah. And then we discussed how we liked Armstrong and how
we didn't want him to be bad.
We kept waiting for it to happen, but like that never did happen. And so maybe he's not going to be that. You know what I mean? And right. I said, well, you know, I'm looking forward to the season finale that aired last night. I just really hope that, like, while they're investigating Armstrong, they don't set up Nolan and all of a sudden they leave us with Nolan's been arrested, or, you know, Nolan's been set up to be the bad guy or the fall guy in this and all this other horseshit. Because that would just be fucking annoying, because he's the star of the show and there's no way we're going to get to next season and Nolan's in jail or going through trial, because that takes away the whole purpose of what the show's about.
Right.
Him being a boot on the street, or him being a new officer on the street.
Predicted that just because you're so used to these kind of shows.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sure as shit, I'm watching it and I'm like, of course. Cause I actually, can you hear Wesley?
I just heard you say, because I actually, and then something about Wesley. I said,
can you hear him?
Nope.
Okay, okay. Because he just is going on a laughing spree, and I don't know if you had picked it up or not. I was enjoying the episode. I actually thought it was really well done until the end. What did you think?
I did as well. I really, really, really liked the intro part where we got to see everything that happened last episode, but kind of from Armstrong's point of view.
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, he may be reluctant, but he's been doing it for so long that he's a fucking pro. I didn't like some of it when Nolan and his partner tried to, you know, get him alone out there so that they could ping his cell phone.
Yeah.
I didn't like, you know, that was one of those stupid, forced, awkward things that just, it really kind of bothered me, you know? My contact from the old days is in this house. And he's like, well, I'll go with you. And she's like, no, you got to keep him out here. And then he takes the phone call from Grace, and, you know, Armstrong's like, oh, I'll go in and check anyway. And, oh, our cover's blown. He must know what's going on now. stop it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah. I agree with that as well. But I did also, like you were saying, I liked the flashback. I like seeing the, you know, Armstrong's point of view and how he was interacting with these people and everything. And I enjoyed seeing the Nolan side of things with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the ending. The ending really kind of took me out of it.
Yeah. Especially where they ended it so abruptly, you know, they're just like, oh, and here's the ending. Ha 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 ha.
And it's like when Nolan, like Armstrong calls up Nolan and he's like, it's over, you know, I'm going to turn myself in, blah, 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 but I need to talk to you in person. Come back to my house by yourself. And Nolan's like, yeah. Okay, I can trust you, the guy that I thought I could trust, but turns out it's a piece of shit the whole time.
Right.
You know, and also, like, Nolan's an excellent carpentry person. All he has to do is show them the shoddy work that
Armstrong did,
hiding, you know, Nolan's quote-unquote stash of stuff, and be like, yeah, I wouldn't do something that shitty.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, yeah. They're all showing up there, and with, you know, they're going code, they got the sirens going and everything like that, but, yeah. You know, we don't know if they're actually showing up to arrest him, or if they're like, no, we know that it wasn't you.
Right. Which is, I think that's the bait and switch that they're going to do that would make Misery Woman scream shenanigans at the screen, is they're going to run and be like, are you all right, Nolan? We didn't know if, you know, someone was here to kill you or some horseshit like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, and Nolan's like, no, I'm good. And he's like, all right, because, you know, we got your body camera on and we recorded, you know, we can see you recorded everything that Armstrong said about setting you up. I mean, like, it's just.
Yeah.
It's all dumb.
It's that particular part was dumb. Otherwise, I still love the show and I'm still looking forward to the next season. But yeah, that really took a lot out of the mystery.
You know, here's the thing. It's not like the Darians could pick Nolan out of a lineup, I bet. They probably have no idea what he looks like.
Oh, and how about that? Okay. The frigging guy getting arrested and sitting in the back of his the patrol car, and he's like, I've got one more guy on my payroll. It's John Nolan. Like, any cop worth their salt would be like, yeah, I don't trust that. You know, he just gave that up willingly. He didn't ask for a lawyer or anything.
Exactly. I thought the same thing. It just all seems so foolish.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, it's John Nolan. Bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't pander to us like that. Don't try to pretend. Yeah, it again, love the show, but that was some weak sauce right there.
Very weak sauce. You know, another Sunday night show that's not weak sauce, and I'm pretty sad that we're already down to the last two episodes, or sorry, last three episodes, is Killing Eve.
Yes. This was an amazing episode.
Villanelle going home to visit her family in Russia.
I'm sorry, you mean Oksana?
Sorry, Oksana, yes. Oksana going home to visit her family in Russia, yes.
Yeah, which we didn't even know that that's what was going on until, you know, what, 5 minutes in?
Oh,
Just figured she was there to kill some people, because, you know, that's what she does. Mm-hmm. And then... oh, wait, this is actually, you know, her legit family.
Yeah, her brother was Piotr, or whatever.
Peter, it's the Russian version of Peter.
Peter, yeah, and then her other half-brother, who loves himself some Elton John.
Yes, who is much younger. Yeah, he's like...
yes.
The stereotypical Middle Eastern, but no, sorry, not Middle Eastern, Eastern European guy who's like, you know, they pick one thing and they just obsess over it. And for him, it's Elton John.
Yeah, but the whole family was peculiar because, like, once mom gets home and she has her big, like, oh my God, it's you. Which, if she hasn't seen her in 20-something years or even longer, like...
How does she recognize her?
Would she recognize her child as an adult now? I don't think so.
I don't think she would.
No.
No, but I wasn't buying
that. Beyond that, yeah, beyond that, I mean... I thought it was interesting. We really got to see like some like home life, her meeting her, you know, meeting her mom and brother for the first time in a long time, and meeting a half brother, and then like a stepbrother and his girlfriend and her stepfather, and just kind of how they're all living together, and how she kind of melds into their life, like the younger brother entering the cooking competition at the fair or the festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, and she like
it looks like a county fair, but it's very cheap and cheapy. And
Harvest Festival. It was a Harvest Festival. Yeah.
Yes. But,
you know, she wins the dung throwing competition, the cow patty toss. You know?
She wins a few things. Like
yeah, but I mean that one, she actually stood on a podium and they played the Russian national anthem, and she got like what, a box fan or some sort of fan? Was it looked like a fan?
Yep.
You know, when she dove right into like wanting to be a part of them and everything, even with her issues with her mom and everything. And
she was kicking some ass at Three Card Monty until the woman told her to get out.
What did you think of her, I guess, stepsister-in-law and her dance troupe where two of them were pregnant?
Oh, my God. She's like, oh, you're serious.
Yeah.
But everyone seemed to be digging it. I mean, again, we're seeing some real stereotypical Eastern European stuff going on here.
Well, what was it? The younger brother at dinner goes and puts on Elton John. Was it Crocodile Rock?
Yep.
Yeah, and then the whole family sings and dances along and does a big, like, all right, I guess they're a good, happy family together.
Yeah.
But.
Or that's what you're led to believe, you know?
Yeah, that's what you're led to believe, yeah. But mom seems to have her dark side, Villanelle does.
At first, it's just, you know, the kid, like, he failed. What did he enter at the fair? It was like a cooking competition?
Some sort of cooking competition for, like, some sort of pastry or Russian treat.
Yeah,
or
and he was... He was hoping to get the money so that he could buy Elton John tickets, and he didn't succeed. And he tells Villanelle that basically, you know, his mom told him, you failed because you're miserable and you're terrible and you disgraced me. And, you know, she basically just calls him a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
And it turns out that her feelings like that are not limited just to him, because she, you know, even though in the beginning she was like, oh, you know, I had to give you up.
Because he lost, he was an embarrassment to the family.
Yep.
That's a little harsh.
But don't forget, this is the woman who gave her daughter up.
Right.
For originally what we thought was no reason. But then, you know, later on at the very end of the episode, she basically tells her, she's like, you were a terrible child. You had darkness in you like your dad did. Because, you know, we're never allowed to talk about father. She's like, you had a darkness in you. I could tell you never cried. And she basically tells her that, you know, she wanted to get rid of her because she never wanted her around, and then tells her to get out of the house.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not welcome here anymore. You're not part of this family. Villanelle, you know, in her normal way, just kind of takes it at first and actually gets upset. And then she's like, mother, I think I have to kill you.
Yeah, and her mother doesn't even seem to react to that. Maybe she didn't believe her, or she just thought she was full of shit, but yeah, she didn't seem to believe her when she said that.
She should have, because it looked to me like she basically killed her, you know, snapped her neck or whatever, and then turned on all the gas in the house, dumped some alcohol, some kerosene, and then set the alarm on her little half brother's alarm clock with a note that said, you know, come out to the back shed, so that he was out of the house, and left him an envelope.
Her brother was also sleeping in the barn. We knew that.
Yep. and basically left him an envelope that said with all of her winnings and said, buy the tickets to Elton. And he's all excited. And then like 2 seconds later, the house explodes.
Yeah. Now, and then we see Villanelle just kind of walking away.
But she's angry. She's like screaming and angry. But then, later on, she's actually crying, which is very odd because she doesn't cry. And her mom said, you know, as a baby, she didn't cry. So she's actually really upset by everything that happened.
Yep. Yeah, she is.
Which is huge.
Very huge. Because she doesn't get emotional.
Yeah. She's still a psychopath, of course, but.
Oh, yeah, and that's how we want her. Let's
yes.
be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy the show. I look forward to, like I said, we have 3 weeks out, 3 weeks left, you know, last night's episode is episode 6, and I'm sure we're going to get, because, I mean, they left us on a cliffhanger with Eve seeing Nico get killed.
Yes.
Essentially, well, ago now, and then they don't even touch on it or talk about it at all this past week, so I'm looking right. forward to
it was very interesting, you know, because we had that last week's episode where we covered so many people and we got to see, you know, the same day from each of their points of view, and then this week it was none of them, you know, no closure, no follow-up, and it was just one person. Yeah. Villanelle.
It'll be cool to see what happens. Not for nothing. Yeah. I'm pretty excited to see what happens. I really enjoy the show, and this has been a great season. I think it's better than last year's.
I agree.
So.
Yep, I'm loving it.
Yep. All right, let's see. What do you want to talk about next?
Schooled?
Sure. What happened on Schooled? It's the Clueless episode.
Yes. Clueless, and they're doing a prom. And this episode had exactly what I didn't want to see. And I'm sure you were thinking the same thing as you were watching it.
Oh, what's that, John?
That would be the Lainey and CB getting together.
Yep. I agree.
The one thing that we were like, no, this shouldn't happen. And then it happened. And it really shouldn't have happened because he has a girlfriend and he's talking about how he has a girlfriend and he's happy about having a girlfriend. And, you know, I knew as soon as I saw the opening part of the episode where Lainey was talking about how her and Barry were trying long distance and it just wasn't working. So they both kind of decided to break up. I'm like, fuck, here it comes.
Yep.
And sure enough.
Yep. And Paloma. Like approving of this behavior too.
No, Wilma. Paloma's
I'm sorry, not Wilma. Wilma, sorry. Paloma was CB's girlfriend. Yeah. Wilma not approving of this
behavior. Approving of it, but like encouraging it.
So realistically, there's no way that the prom's that weekend and on Wednesday they haven't decorated anything and they don't know what they're going to do and they haven't bought party supplies. Just want to throw that out.
Yeah, completely unrealistic. You are absolutely correct, my friend.
Yeah. So, oh, and by the way, this was the season finale.
Yes, it was.
So we're all done school. Yet another show that we're done for the season.
Yep.
Mellor's dealing with the fact that Toby got asked to the prom by a girl, a senior, and she only asked him because her parents don't like her boyfriend. And so that way, when they see Toby, they'll have no problem with her going to the prom.
Which has been done many times over, that gimmick.
I had storyline. And has this show been picked up for another season?
I don't know. I feel like maybe it has, but...
I don't think it has. And the reason why I feel that way is because... The way they ended it, like thanking all the teachers, and then they showed images of all the, you know, the real teachers. Mm-hmm. And other than the fact that we know that Lainey and CB are going to give it a go, they didn't really leave us with any cliffhangers, so to speak.
No,
it'll be interesting.
No, we did not.
I imagine the show will get picked up for another season, but
I can't imagine why it wouldn't. That and the Goldbergs do so well, so I can't imagine that they'd be like, "Oh no, oh, let's hold off."
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I like the show a lot, except for the one, you know, like we said, the one that you said, the one thing that we didn't want to see happen that happened.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It like, yeah. I don't know. I just, why couldn't it have just stayed with them being friends? Why couldn't he have gotten together with Wilma? I mean, there's a million different directions that they could have gone that would have been great. But yeah, this was not my ideal. But yeah, I don't get to, I don't get to make those decisions. I'm not in charge.
Right. That's not, we don't get paid the big bucks.
I get paid mediocre bucks.
True. Yeah. I get paid, you know, I'd never say I can make enough money, because if you feel that way, then you're an idiot. You should always want more.
Yes, you should
always feel like you can make more.
Yes.
So
I agree.
The wife and I watched episode 2 of Upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
Upload.
Upload. Yep.
And she was like, all right, I guess I do want to see what happens. So can you wait for episode 3 for me? And I was like, yeah, I will. And then we just didn't get a chance to watch it between.
Oh, that's too bad.
Okay. So, but we did watch episode 2.
Yep.
And
Where'd you go?
I did like it a lot more. So.
Yeah, it, the third episode, I'm not going to spoil it, but I will tell you, it's the funeral. They're having
I got that feeling with the way the second episode ended.
Yep. And it's
the cigarette smoking man is in this, William B. Davis.
Yes, I saw that. I'm like, and oh, finally, Mike's going to like that.
And what I really liked the most is when Nathan suddenly had a memory of what him and his buddy were doing, when he's like, oh yeah, we're building this freeware version of an afterlife, so that way it's free to everybody and da 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 da. And he says, oh, so you were murdered. And he's like, what? No, I was in an automatic car accident. And he just goes, ha ha ha, okay, you were murdered. Yeah. And then he walked off. I was like, at least someone said something, and that's not going to be a mystery, you know what I mean, for the next several episodes.
Right, yeah. He's like, you tried to take on the biggest industry in the entire, but, you know, good for you. Yeah, I'm sure that you were just in an accident.
Yeah, sure it was just an accident. A little bit better relationship, or a building of a relationship with his angel there, Nora. Nora's boss pissed me off.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're supposed to be a fan.
Probably not. You have to have a 4.6 star rating, customer service rating, in order to get the employee discount. And you have like a 4.597, so can't do it.
Yeah.
You can get a 4.6 by the end of the day, but then tomorrow you can be back below a 4.6. So, I mean, this is really not something I can do. If you get a 4.8 by the end of the day, though, I'll sign your paper. I guess just like, fuck you, lady.
That's some bureaucratic bullshit right there.
Go back to eating your sandwiches and watching, you know, naked people in the shower, even though they've turned on their privacy setting.
Right. Creepy.
Yeah. What'd you think of his therapist being a dog?
I love that. I love that. Because one of the things with the show is how they take things that you expect and then they twist them. So, you know, you expect that it's just like therapy animals, as in like, oh, I'm going to hug this animal. Oh, that's great. And no, it's actually his therapist is literally a dog.
Yeah. But you think about it, you sit there, think of a relaxing. I mean, you're sitting there, if you like dogs, you know, patting a dog or patting a cat, and the animal's talking to you, and you're like, you know what I'm like? Actually, probably would legitimately be very relaxing and comfortable.
I agree. Yep.
It's not a person you're talking to. I mean, it is, but you know what I mean? Mentally in front of you, you're talking to an animal, something that you're relaxing while you're patting. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. We do plan on watching episode 3 this week, and I'll try to get episode 4 in as well.
Cool. 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 Cool.
We did watch episode 6 of Modern Love, or should I call it Creepy and Disturbing Love?
Okay, yeah. This was, you remember how I told you that the Tina Fey episode was my least favorite? No, the Tina Fey episode was fucking awesome compared to this thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's, the show has definitely been hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
That girl has got some daddy issues.
Okay, they're not just daddy issues. She's got, like, some developmental issues.
Yeah, like, she didn't grow up with a dad. She never really cared about having one until she met this guy that's 30 years older than her. And yeah, and she starts looking at the relationship that she wants to have with him as a father-daughter one, where he takes care of her. And he's like, I want to fuck young pussy.
Yeah, and you know, I got really mad in a number of places here.
Oh, I bet.
I've been in, I don't want to say relationships, but I've been in mutually agreed friendships similar to this, where the other person just like takes and takes and takes and takes, which is what she was doing. You know, she's like, oh, I'll call him over. He can fix my plumbing, and you know, he can take me out for walks and buy me a little sea lion. And she even got mad with his, like, when he ran into his regular daughter.
His real daughter, not regular daughter.
Yeah.
His
Sorry. Daughter. Yes.
Oh, but, okay.
But the whole time, like, she's leading him on, and then gets really mad when he kisses her.
Yeah.
And then she's like,
oh,
she's like,
gross. That's the
reaction. Yeah. She's like, I've been telling you all along. He's like, how? And she's like, I've been telling you, like, subtly through hints, and you should have picked up on it. Yeah. No, he shouldn't have.
No, he shouldn't have, not at all. Yeah, I had some issues with this episode, too. I had some pretty severe issues with this episode.
When he bought her the jacket and then he goes to kiss her and she has her little freak out there, you know, the thing that got me was that she tried to turn it around into a, you're making me into a slut thing. She's like, so you only bought that so that I would kiss you? So I'm like property to you? No, I don't even want it. No. Like, you were both grown adults and you were trying to use him as a daddy figure. You don't get to then pull the creepy uncle card. You don't get to, you know, turn around and be like, oh, you know, fuck you. You shouldn't have taken advantage of me like that. It's just wrong.
No. It's very wrong. Yeah. Ugh, gross.
Yeah. I just, this whole episode really bugged the shit out of me.
Yeah, no. And I can 1,000% understand why.
And the worst part is that she was the narrator, so she's supposed to be the one that we're rooting for.
Yeah, she is, but she's not. She's not really likable at all. Because like you said, the whole time I'm watching this episode, I'm just like, she's taking advantage of him. She's taking advantage of his generosity and kindness. But at the same time, you know, he's a 51-year-old man or whatever it is who's macking on a 20-something-year-old girl. Not even like a 29-year-old girl, but like a young 20s girl. And that, like, he should have had some radar going, this is wrong.
Yeah, you and I are always going to disagree on that because I know you don't like that kind of stuff. I don't see a problem with that. In either direction. You know, if it had been a 50-year-old woman and a 20-year-old guy, don't see a problem, but.
Well, that's because I grew up with my stepfather being 15 years older than my mother, and I saw how that just doesn't work. And especially the older they got together, it just, yeah. And I don't know, so just, I think it's not, yeah. Nope. But that's okay. We don't have to agree.
That's right. We don't have to agree on everything. We agree on a lot of stuff, though.
Oh, absolutely, we do.
Like the fact that this was a stupid episode. I don't even know what it meant about love. Like, this is supposed to be a show about different kinds of love. And I get that she was looking for the daddy-daughter love, but even then, it really kind of ticked me off that she was not clear about that from the get-go. Like, you know, he could have picked his words better, but like he said, he's like, you know, you laid there and your breasts were pressed up against me. She's like, well, what was I supposed to do with them? Right. You know, that's a valid point. And, you know, he kind of, he didn't have a leg to stand on there. He could have picked better ways to say it, but you know, she was, the way that she was acting was more flirtatious or dating than a daddy daughter thing. And it is not, it shouldn't be expected of her, you know, to think that he is going to assume that this is the kind of relationship, because in all honesty, that doesn't happen. Like that is not something that happens in society today where a girl's like, I want this guy to be my daddy, so I'm going to enter into a, you know, kind of relationship with him so that I can have the daddy love. That just doesn't happen. So it's not like,
yeah, no. I agree.
Anywho, I'm hoping that the next episode is way better. I can't imagine it being much worse.
The next one is called Hers Was a World of One. It stars Andrew Scott. And we both of, like him.
Hers Was a World of what?
One. O-N-E.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was that or if it was Want.
Yeah. No, and it's, like I said, it stars Andrew Scott. You know, he played Moriarty in the BBC Sherlock, so we liked him. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
Hopefully, I'm thinking it'll be great.
Good.
I'm hoping that it'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do we have any, I don't think we have any other, I mean, I didn't watch any more Homecoming.
I'm up to episode 6 of that now, or I just finished episode 6.
Okay, I'm assuming it's worth to continue to watch.
This one started to, like, actually the mystery started making a bit more sense. Like, yeah. We actually, one of the guys who's in therapy, his mom enters the picture. So we actually got some kind of movement, but it's still very weird. I honestly think, so you remember when Mr. Robot got over and I told you that Sam Esmail had originally written Mr. Robot as a movie, but there was so much to it that they spread it out to a TV show. And he's like, oh, thank God. I feel like this was meant to be a movie and it really should have been a movie. Like everything that I'm seeing here should have been a movie, kind of sort of is a movie. Like if you were to squeeze all these episodes together, because even with the cheesy synth 80s music that's supposed to be like thriller-esque, I feel like this was really meant to be one big long mystery movie. And it would
probably make more sense if it was one big long movie as opposed to being broken up.
Yeah, because unlike most shows, watching this a half an hour at a time, I'm not getting a lot from it. It's very disjointed. So I don't know. I'm plugging through. I keep seeing all the commercials because the second season starts up soon. So I keep seeing commercials for that on regular TV.
Okay. So I'm all done with Tales from the Loop.
I honestly put it on and then went, nope, not going to do it.
Pretty much the same. Pretty much the same, yeah. So, okay, we're on the same page there.
Yes, we are. Yeah, I didn't even look at the episode title. I said, okay, I'll try it. And I hit play and it said, it was like the Amazon logo. And I went, no, never mind.
Okay, I got a little bit further. I watched like the first 5 minutes. And watched is kind of a gracious way of saying what I was doing while it was on. I think I was reading a book, and I was like, clearly I don't give a shit about this. Did you finish up Flash?
Yeah, and was that the season finale?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That shouldn't have been the season finale because there was really no resolution. Like,
didn't Iris disappear at the end? I read the synopsis. I read the write-up.
Iris has been gone, but she was in the mirror world and she's starting to adapt to the mirror world and she can see things. But you know, it fucks with your head and it's not the human brain is not meant to function in there. And then she starts to translate something and then vanishes. Eva McCullough is alive and well and outside of the mirror universe. And I don't know, just it's called the Flash. We need the Flash. We need him to have speed and be fighting villains. Not this, I've almost run out of speed. Every episode, he's almost run out of speed. You barely have any left. Okay, so either have no speed or give him his speed back so that he can be the Flash. But one or the other, this whole, well, I'll speed through this. It's annoying. Also, they brought Joe back from his, you know, time in witness protection, you know, three episodes ago. And they marched him on there, you know, with some dramatic music and a slow motion walk. And I'm like, guys, he just disappeared like a couple episodes ago. This is not that big of a thing.
But does he know his daughter's missing?
I don't know. Didn't really care to get into that.
Okay. So, I mean, if this was the first season of the show, I don't know if I'd watch a second season.
Correct. I'm in agreement there. I mean, we knew that they were going to suffer when they basically, when Cisco said that he was going to leave, you know, the actor who plays him said that he was going to leave, and he's no longer Vibe. He's like in half the episodes. And now that, like I said, they're not fighting villains as much. There's no villain of the week anymore. And they're not really using their superpowers to have big CGI battles. It's not as good.
Well, moving on to Legends, I enjoyed this episode.
As did I.
They have to go, they're trying to find a way to use the loom and how to become like powerful enough to do it. And they find this chalice of Dionysus. And yep. It's basically a cup that you drink from and it makes you a god for a day. And yes. Of course, Nate recognizes it because of a fraternity that he wasn't in but wanted to be in when he was in college. He saw it at their fraternity house, and it's the chug mug that they all drink from. And they go to, I figured they'd go back in time, but they didn't. They went to current day, where this college is, and of course, it's Dionysus is the he's the Jeremy Piven from PCU character, the guy that's been in college his whole life and always will be. But, of course, he doesn't age because he's always looking for the party. So he went to the place where the party's always there, and he's the party god. So,
yep. And it was a cool way because he basically recognizes the fate there.
Charlie.
And, yeah. Charlie, and he's like, oh. Yeah. You know, it's so great that you guys gave them all free will, because before that it was really boring. And so he's a big fan of what she did, but then when he finds out that she wants the cup so that they can put the loom back together, he thinks that they're going to take away everybody's free will, and he's not all about that because he likes partying all the time.
Which I kind of like how he was you can't call him the bad guy of the episode. He was the nemesis of the episode, but he wasn't a bad guy. He just actually, if you think about it, he's like, nah, if they put the loom back together, they're going to take away people's free will again. They can't do that. So he's kind of the good guy while being the opposition at the same time. And then, you know, of course they play beer pong, and the winner gets the chalice. And so when he loses, he honors his agreement, and they all drink from the mug except for Zari. And that's kind of how the episode ends. Obviously there's a lot more to talk about, but that's how the episode ends. But at the end, he even says to Charlie, like, yeah, I can tell that you're still pretty chill and hip, and you're not going to take free will away from people. And she's like, you're right, I'm not. So it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So they gave him an opposition of the week without him being a bad guy, if you will.
Right. Nobody that they had to kill. He wasn't from hell. Now, only because it's Legends could they get away with the whole, like, Nate went there and he was under the spell, but he could have easily gotten them the cup, the chug mug. But Sarah and crew decided to create their own sorority. And they had to have X number of people, which means that they had to, you know, recruit three others. And those three were, you know, rejected for odd reasons. I like that they weren't just nerds. Like, one of them was kicked off the pep squad for having too much pep. And then they had, like, their whole welcome video, and they had their audition. It was just, it was really cute. Any other show, I would have been like, what the fuck is this? But because it's Legends, and they're just crazy all the time.
I feel the same way.
I like how they got the rundown old sorority house, and it was terrible, but what they did was they just created a portal right in the doorway to John Constantine's house.
Yeah.
Let him be on the episode long enough to be like, yeah, I don't want to stick around and watch this, but be careful of the gargoyles. They literally bite, and then he's off screen. He's gone.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty hilarious as well. That was a genius idea, really.
Yep.
I was hoping someone would go inside and say, oh, it looks bigger on the inside.
I was hoping that as well.
I thought it would just be a little funny nod to, you know, Doctor Who. But regardless, no, I liked it a lot. I thought it was a good episode. I like, of course, Nate becoming, you know, drugged by Dionysus and becoming like a party guy, which is completely believable. That actor must have fun on the show, because the way his character gets to be fun all the time and not so serious.
Yep.
I still go back to last week's episode where he's like, do you guys hear that dog telling me to kill you as well? No. he makes a lot of valid points. Like, but no, I love Legends. It's we only got three episodes left. I'm curious. I'm really, really curious about the one, episode 13, the one we're trapped on TV.
Yes. I'm really curious about all of them because I just.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just love it. I'm glad they embraced it, and that's all. I know we've said it a million times, but it just.
Yep. Yeah, they embrace the foolishness of it all, which makes it awesome.
Yes.
Oh, did you watch Supergirl or Batwoman at all?
Nope. I've still got them on my DVR. They'll be a background show. You know, someday when I'm playing a game, which happens a lot lately, I'll throw those on because, you know, I've got nothing else to do. And
that'll kind of like. Go ahead. That'll be what?
I was going to say that's how I will watch it. I won't care about it. It'll just be to get through it.
That's kind of how I was watching Supernatural today. I just had it on my tablet while I was doing my office work from home and everything. So I was paying attention, but, you know, not 1,000% paying attention. But so, yep, I completely get that.
Yep.
Excuse me.
This was also the first week that we didn't have Zoe, and I really missed not having Zoe.
Yeah, that was a great show.
I tell you, like, I don't care about Facebook anymore. I literally only use Facebook for the Messenger because that's how a number of people keep in contact with me. I could switch over to text, but whatever. But Instagram I love. And I followed Zoe's Playlists official Instagram. They keep up on a lot of shit, and they show some behind the scenes stuff. They show some bloopers. They show some dance parties. It's friggin' great, and it only makes me love the show more.
Nice.
Yep.
I have not watched any more episodes of Hollywood. Did you watch Hollywood at all?
Nope. You couldn't give me a strong enough sell on it that I was like, I'll just wait and see.
Well, I haven't watched the second episode either. Did you watch Black AF?
I did. I'm four episodes in now.
All right. I haven't watched any of that yet. I want to.
It's legitimately fun. It's funny. It's fun. They mess with each other. I'm enjoying it more and more as I'm watching it.
Okay. I watched the first season of Afterlife on Netflix. It's six episodes.
Okay.
Each episode is written and directed by Ricky Gervais.
Yep.
It is not a comedy. It is very far from a comedy. It is dark as fuck. It is so dark. Like, Basically, the show opens with Ricky Gervais' character. His name is Tony, and he's a reporter at a local paper called the Tambury Gazette, which is the town he lives in, and it's a free paper. Each episode's about a half hour long. And essentially, the show opens with him looking at watching a video on his laptop from his wife, and she is basically she died from cancer, and it's a video she recorded for him to watch after she died. And he is depressed and he is sad and he basically just doesn't give a fuck. And so he tells everybody that, and he uses the word cunt a lot, a lot.
Yes.
Like
in his comedy as well.
Yes. But like every character on the show does. But like, for instance, it opens up, he gives his dog some food. And then they go to the park and he's walking his dog in the park, but his dog's not on a leash, but his dog's very well trained and stays with him, and they're playing fetch. And this guy walks by and goes, "Your dog should be on a lead." And his character goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, what was that? Your dog should be on a lead. Oh, yeah, you're right. I apologize." And he hooks his dog up and he goes, "Oh, what was that, Penny?" I can't think of the dog's name. "Oh, yeah, he is a fat cocksucker. You're right. Oh, sorry about that. She's just angry." And he walks off. That's how he treats everybody. He just says whatever he wants. Doesn't care if he offends anyone. Just doesn't care. And he talks about killing himself in every single episode. Like, the only reason why I didn't kill myself today is because my dog couldn't open his own can of food.
Oh, wow.
And my wife loved that dog. And it's dark. I mean, it is so dark. But there is some funny moments in it. And I sat down and I was like, well, I'll just watch one episode. But I kind of got sucked in. And if you're feeling down about yourself, I wouldn't recommend watching this at that point. But at the same time, because the way I binge watched it, by the time he starts to come around near the end of like episode 6 or episode, yeah, by the time he starts coming around near the end of episode 5 and kind of feeling better about himself, then episode 6, he's a lot more positive. It's like, makes you feel more positive, but you really do watch someone going through the cycle of being in deep, 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 deep depression over the loss of a loved one and basically barely being able to pull out of it.
Nice. Yeah. Not nice as in, you know, not nice like, oh, it's great that he's depressed, but it's nice that they can show that kind of thing and really have it be impactful.
Yeah. But man, super dark. Whew. Yeah. So.
I may check that out. I am a Ricky Gervais fan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's but it's not like the happy-go-lucky over-the-top comedy like he's done in the past. I mean, this is...
Right.
Yeah, I actually really would like you to watch it so that way you can give me your point of view on it.
Okay. I will add that to my list.
The only other show, and I, you know what I just now realized, talking out loud? I completely fucking forgot to watch the series finale, the season finale of Blacklist.
I don't know if it was the season finale.
Okay, well, I forgot to watch the episode of Blacklist that was Friday that was part animated.
You know, in all honesty, I'll say a couple of things about it. The animation was, I hate to say this, but it was terrible. Like, I know that it was clipped together, you know, that they did it as a last minute kind of thing. However, the transitions were awesome. They do a thing where right in the beginning, there's a monologue by Liz and she's sitting with Brian Dennehy, you know, and he's hooked up to some ventilators and she's doing a little monologue about her life and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it just cuts and they do a live thing, kind of like what Max did on New Amsterdam. Where they've got all the actors who are like, hey, this is as far as we got in the episode. You know, only so many things got filmed, you know, and one of the guys is like, you know, I remember that day, you know, wearing gloves everywhere. And then when they'd say, you know, we need you on set, I'd take off the gloves. As soon as I was done with my scene, I'd put them back on. You know, we were all scared and they only got partway through it. So they animated the rest of it. The transitions are great because, you know, it'll be like, the animated character walks to a door and goes to open it. And then you cut right back to live where Liz is coming out on the street. And you're like, oh, that's cool. As long as you can look past the fact that like this animation looks like it's, out of a PlayStation 1 game. I mean, it's not even PlayStation 2 worthy.
It's a surprise.
So as long as you can get past that, it's actually really well done, because they also, they notate it like comic book style. It's really cool because, you know, you'll get like a little thing that says, you know, she knows too much, like you would see in a comic book. Mm-hmm. So I really like that aspect of it.
Nice. Yep. Yeah, I meant to watch it today, and I just completely forgot.
I watched a new show this week.
All right, what was that?
The new... Hold on, I'm adding Afterlife to my list.
There. Yeah, you should.
Two seasons, 6 episodes each. All right, so 12 episodes. I can do that.
And the second season just got posted like in April.
Oh, okay. So I watched the new Hulu series, The Great. It's the one with Nicholas Holt as Emperor. Of Russia, Tsar Peter of Russia, and Elle Fanning as his new wife. The episodes are an hour long each. I've only watched one so far. This is a fucking great show. Like,
oh, really?
The tagline, like the opening shot, says "The Great," and then with an asterisk, it says "An occasionally true story."
I like that.
And there is some good humor in it, but it's like highbrow kind of humor. But it also really, 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 like, highlights and focuses on the way that things were then. You know, like, she's sitting there talking to some of the other women. One of the women's like, you know, "I'm going to be your best friend. I'm going to be around you all the time. We will always talk." And she's like, "Oh, okay, you know, I read this book." And they're like, "Yeah, none of us read. That's not something that we do. We just, women don't read." And he even says to her at one point, he's like, "You know, women are for breeding, not reading." And then he turns around to his group and he's like, "I just said women are for breeding, not reading." And they all go, "Oh," because, you know, they have to laugh at his stuff.
Right.
But even like, she's never had sex before, and they actually inspect her. You know, the Rasputin looking guy comes in, and actually he's like, "I need to make sure you're intact." She's like, "What do you mean intact?" And he, you know, has to go up there and check it. There's no nudity, of course, but, right, you know, then she's all excited because it's their wedding night and she's going to have sex for the first time. And it's tragic because, you know, she says, "Oh, this is what my mother told me about her." It's like this fairy tale thing. And the chambermaid's like, "Yeah, go with that." And he kind of like walks into the bedchamber and she's laying there and she's like, "Hi." She's got this like semi see-through shirt. She's like, "Hello, my dear." He's talking to his buddy, who's, his buddy just kind of stops at the door and faces away while he's packing a pipe. And Peter walks over and just, you know, grabs her legs, pulls her close, and keeps talking to his buddy as he's humping her. And then just, "Well, hopefully my seed took place. All right." And heads back to the party with his friend.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's impersonal. You know what I mean?
It's a great show. Like I said, the humor is pretty highbrow. It's not like, you know, super classy, but it's definitely like it's thinking stuff. So I definitely give this one a hard sell.
Nice. Well, I like the idea of that.
Yeah. I want you to check this one out. I'm just doing one episode at a time, but I really I like it.
Do you want to watch anything else new?
New? No, I don't think so. I watched the next episodes, and I don't know why I'm doing it one episode at a time. Maybe just because I know that so many things are ending. Working Moms and Dead to Me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you picked this up yet, but I watched, I'm really struggling here to just do one at a time, but I watched the second episode of Solar Opposites after rewatching the first episode. That show is a fucking riot. It's nice too, because it's meant to be on Hulu.
Yeah.
And so they get to swear. There's a lot of F-bombs, you know, for an animated show. But in the second one, it's funny because they, like, you can tell where they're going to commercial and they're like, "Yes, we'll be right back after this." And then it's black for a second. Then it comes back and he goes, "Okay, we're back now. Except for if you're one of those people who's rich enough to pay for that Hulu with no commercials, then you didn't get any commercials. So we're just back and this doesn't make any sense to you. But, you know, the rest of the people who aren't as rich as you have to sit through commercials for all this. So, yeah.
I like how they acknowledge that.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty meta that way. So, yeah, I really like that. But, yeah, other than that, I don't think I watched any other new shows. Nope.
Well, we have what we do in the shadows to discuss.
I knew you were going to save this one for last based on this episode.
Dude, I laughed so fucking hard. And I watched this episode twice. Okay, so
Jackie fucking Daytona.
Yeah, okay. So Mark Hamill's character, Jim, who is a vampire that shows up at Jim the residence of... Jim the Vampire, looking for Laszlo because he failed to pay a month's rent in California like 160 years ago, whatever it was. And so Laszlo is like, I've never paid a debt and I'm not going to fucking start today. So he takes out his disguise, which is a toothpick, and puts it in his mouth. And that's all it takes. Now he's a different person. Oh, he changed his clothes. Jeez.
Denim jeans and a toothpick in his mouth. That's his flawless human disguise.
Yeah. And he runs away to Pennsylvania. And he kills the owner of a bar and he assumes ownership of it. And Jackie Daytona is just, the town loves him. You know, he's a great partier. He is a great coach for the local volleyball team because apparently there's a like, club volleyball team that the town loves. Like, these girls aren't even in high school, I don't think. I don't know. But, you know, and they all love him, and it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And then when Jim the Vampire shows up, and it's hilarious because he's like, hello, old chap. Yes, I'll have one human beer. Oh, a human beer. Oh, I see. I see how you're playing this. I guess you'd say the jig is up then, huh? What? I will have a human beer as well. And then they both like throw it over their shoulder.
Yep.
Yeah. It's hilarious. And then
he basically becomes beloved. Like you said, everybody in town loves him. They come to him for advice. The young girl that works at the bar wants to be with him. You know, she's really got a crush on him. He's using the chest freezer in the back as his new coffin. And we only get like one or two quick cuts back to the house, you know, where Laszlo and Nadja are trying to deal with things. And I love that this whole season they've kept the Nadja doll in play, but just like in very small bursts, like little tiny things at a time. Like in this case, you know, Colin Robinson came in to try to like console her and he leans in for a kiss and she's like, no, 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 no. And he kind of tells the camera, he's like, yeah, actually the rejection of the kiss is perfect. It's delicious. It helps him feast for, you know, like days just being on that. But then he goes and tries to do the same thing with the doll, and the doll tells him to fuck off. And he's like, that one hurt a little bit.
Yeah. I like it when Jim the Vampire gives him his business card and he goes like, thanks a lot, Jim the Vampire. How did you know I was a vampire? Because it says so on your business card? Okay.
It's printed very clearly right here on your business card, which literally is, it's framed and it just says Jim the Vampire.
And then he comes back and Laszlo's like, well, I guess the jig is up. And he takes the toothpick out and goes, oh, you!
It was you all along! The toothpick was the one thing fooling him.
Yeah. And then they get into a big fight in the middle of the bar and everyone sees their vampires and people start getting killed and murdered, which is typical. And they fight and fight and fight. And then I think it's hilarious that at the end of the day, like, Jim the Vampire becomes the new volleyball coach. And everyone loves him.
They stopped fighting because their fight caused the place to start burning. But more importantly, it burned all the money that they had collected so that the girls volleyball team could go to states, which is what everybody wanted. Right. They were like, they deserve to go to states. And look what we did. We destroyed that chance. Oh, God. And they can't live with themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
So they, what did he say? So they hypnotized everybody in town to forget that vampires ever existed, and Jim yep. became the coach, like you said. And Laszlo, or, you know, Jackie Daytona, burned down the bar so that they could use the money to send the girls to state. But then they needed a little more money. So what was it? It was like somebody else in town that had wronged him. They went and burned down his place too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. And then I like it. Laszlo goes to leaves and he jumps in the truck to drive back and he crashes it right into the wall immediately. And he gets out. He's like, ah, so I never learned to drive, which is a shame because I spent a fortune on this truck.
Yeah.
I like it when he flies away and he goes back to the house and Nadia's so excited to see him, but he puts the toothpick in. She's like, who is this stranger in front of me?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many great lines on this show. And I have a hard time. Like, from episode to episode, it changes who my favorite character is. Like, on School, it's always Meller. But on this show, right. it changes from episode to episode. But I think Laszlo has the lead because of his line delivery.
My sister was like, I haven't watched the new What We Do in the Shadows yet. And I was like, I just have two words for you. Jackie Daytona. That's all I'm going to say. Jackie Daytona. Oh, my God. It was so good. And kudos to Mark Hamill. I love Mark Hamill, and he made a great vampire.
Oh, he was awesome in this. Yeah, he did a fantastic job. And once again, you couldn't tell it was Mark Hamill, really.
Right, right. Oh, shit. So is that it for shows?
That's it for
shows. Okay. Oh, I'm losing you. What'd you say?
Oh, I said, did you watch any movies this week?
I did. Hold on. I'm just looking. Oh, it looks like on my DVR, I've got 10 episodes now of the Harley Quinn show. So that's good. I wonder if they're all in order. Oh, and I will say that I watched the next episode of Run, and that's getting pretty good. Not really. I wish I could convince you that it was good, but it's not. Somebody died in this episode, and they're not handling it well, but I think I'm just sticking it out for now. Nothing else to watch. I did watch two movies. Did you watch any movies?
Three.
Nice. What you got?
They're opening weekend, and they were showing the classic 1939, The Wizard of Oz, which I in a few years, and my wife loves it, and Wesley has never seen it. And so we all went down, and we actually kind of did a little wagon training down. It was me and the family in the Vanna, and then cousin Paul with Amanda and Sammy in their vehicle, and then Kate's cousin Jesse with her mom and our nephew AJ in their vehicle. So we drove all down together, and then we were able to park next to each other in our socially distanced parking spot. But it was fun. It was fun to see the drive, and Wesley absolutely loved it.
What'd you do about the bathroom?
Well, didn't use the bathroom. We just had the one feature. It was $15 to get in, so we just drove saw the movie, and we drove home. As concessions were concerned, they had, like, you would walk up to the doorway, but that was it. They didn't let people into the building, and all they had was popcorn and then boxed candy and cans of soda, and they kept it simple, but it worked.
Gotcha.
At 160 spots, and they sold out Saturday and Sunday night. So,
good for them. Yeah. I think people just want to get out and do stuff.
Exactly. Like this coming Wednesday and Thursday, and if I could go, I would, but I can't. They're showing National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So, I'll be curious to see what they play this weekend. Did you watch any movies?
Yep. Two of them. The first one was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which was Quentin Tarantino's most recent self-indulgent piece of shit.
See, I liked it. I saw it at the theater.
Yeah, a lot of people liked it. I've always had a hard time with Tarantino. I feel like he's very full of himself, and it really shows in his movies. You know, a lot of the film work, watching, you know, basically setting up a camera in the backseat of the car and watching characters drive down the road or drive to a destination. It also seemed like it was way too long. Like, I kept looking at it and going, Jesus, isn't this thing done yet?
I think it was almost 3 hours. And from what I read, he has a 4-hour cut of the movie he's going to release.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I didn't really like it. It wasn't any one thing in particular. I just felt that it felt very Quentin Tarantino to me, and I just don't like his work that much. So that's just me.
Yeah, I myself am a big fan. But I do feel this movie had a very long, slow burn, and then all of a sudden a horrifically violent ending.
Yes. Yeah, that was really, really, really violent. And it felt really over the top, like some of his stuff. Like, it felt like he said, no, people aren't going to accept this as one of my movies unless I get really violent at one point.
Well, and obviously he changed history as well, because in the real world, you know, Sharon Tate there is killed by the Manson family people.
Yep. So. Yep. Well, I think he also...
Same thing with Inglourious Basterds, too, so...
Right. And I think he also changed history in a stuntman throwing Bruce Lee into the side of a car and denting the door like that.
Yes, Bruce Lee's family apparently had some pretty severe issues with that scene in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, he was coming off as quite a prick, and then to see this guy, like, out Kung Fu Bruce Lee and then throw him into the side of a car, I'm like, I don't know.
So, incidentally, this movie is supposed to be connected to Death Proof, the other the Grindhouse movie he did, because in that movie you have Kurt Russell playing Stuntman Mike.
Yeah.
And apparently him and Brad Pitt's characters are supposed to be brothers.
Oh, which is why Kurt Russell was in this one as the older, wiser guy or something. And
yeah, something like that. So.
Kind of, for some reason, started narrating at the end.
Yep. He's got the voice for it, though, so it works.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a couple of movies as well. I know you have one more to talk about. I'll just talk about one of mine. I watched The Invisible Man, the new one. And I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Wasn't it fucking great?
To me, one of my favorite parts was it wasn't like he drank some magic potion or he got injected himself with something and his body had a reaction or whatever. It was he had a suit that had they didn't get into the science of it, but it's almost like, all right, you people get enough science. You can understand this. He has a suit with a bunch of cameras that reflects things and makes it look and makes him look invisible.
Yep.
I thought that was cool.
That's what a lot of people have said would be like invisible cloak technology, would be cameras that basically all speak to each other. So the ones on the front, they're cameras plus mini screens. So like the ones on the front of the suit are taking a picture of what's in front of them and reflecting that onto the back of the suit and vice versa.
Well, it worked. I thought the movie was fantastic. I was glad that they didn't do a rape scene like in Hollow Man.
Right.
Because I actually thought they were at one point.
When he pulls down the sheets?
Yeah, yeah. But then once we find out it's a suit he's wearing, obviously he couldn't do that, because if he did and took his stuff out, you would see it. But no, I thought it was great. I thought that, you know, that there's some great thriller parts in it, or tense psychological thriller parts in it, some great tense parts in it, really good story. I mean, Lee Whannell did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Did you jump at any points? I mean, there were some. Yeah. There were some parts there where it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. Like little cool things, like when she goes outside to look around and you can see her breath, and then behind her you can just see breath.
Yep.
You know, little things like that, or like the indentation of him sitting in the chair, or when he stood on the sheet. I mean, just all these different things. And then, you know, then he lost his shit and started beating up a lot of people.
Yeah, which kind of gave it a little John Wick feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to own that movie when it comes down in price a little bit. I don't want to pay like $20 for it right now, but yeah, I loved that movie.
Yeah, I thought that was really great. Like, again, Lee Whannell, phenomenal job. Doesn't surprise me, though. I've been a fan of his since Saw. So, what was the other flick you watched?
I kept getting all these little news articles and stories and promotions for a Netflix original movie called The Wrong Missy.
Oh, I do want to watch that.
David Spade, Lauren Lapkus. I will just say I enjoyed it quite a bit. It is not, it's predictable, and it is not the highest class thing that you'll ever watch, but it was a fun movie to watch. And of course, it's a Adam Sandler produced thing, you know, Happy Madison. So, yeah, you know, there's all kinds of his friends in there, but there's also like Hurley from Lost is in there a little bit. Some of the stuff is way over the top, but yeah, I would suggest if you want to have some fun, check it out. It's only an hour and a half. Like literally you turn it on, it says 1 hour, 30 minutes. But yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was fun.
I watched The Hunt.
Really want to see that one. Or do I?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. You do. Shit.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm not going to get into any detail because you need to watch it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was really good. What's it? Betty Gilpin.
Yep.
She's awesome in it. So I'll leave it at that.
When you said that drive-in was hosting that and The Invisible Man, I'm like, dude, that would be a perfect twofer to go see.
Oh, that'd be a great double feature. Yeah. Yeah. But no, The Hunt was great. Again, 90 minutes. Was it? You'll recognize some faces in it.
I recognized a lot of faces in the preview for it.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Nice.
You got any trailers you want to talk about?
There were only two this week. Surprisingly. Well, again, not really surprisingly, but I'm pretty sure I shared with you. Let me just double check it. One of them today. What's that?
Show Chip Tomorrow? Was that one of them you're thinking about?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Did you share that one with me or did I share?
You shared it with me.
Okay. That looks interesting.
That's a pretty cool looking documentary. I considered for a short time backing that on Kickstarter.
Yep. I thought you might because you're a big documentary fan and it claims that it is the definitive 80s sci-fi documentary.
Yeah, but to get like the DVD copy of it, you have to like kick it. It's like $50 and it's like, I don't need the poster and all that other shit. I just want the DVD. But so I'll just wait till it comes out and I'll try and watch it that way. But yep. It looks awesome. Yeah.
And then the only other one that I had was today, The Umbrella Academy Season 2 announced its release date of July 31st, and they did it in the most perfect way with the entire cast recreating the I Think We're Alone Now dance scene from the first season while doing social isolation.
I thought that was awesome. I appreciated the hell out of it.
Yep.
I got a little news to share.
Ooh. Go for it.
Well, the biggest news of the week I already shared with you, and I have not yet to see anyone go, that sucks. Fucking CBS All Access is bringing us a new Star Trek show with Anson Mount as Captain Pike. Whew.
That is so fucking awesome.
You know, number one's back, whatever that girl's name is, I can't think of it, and then the guy that played Spock
on Discovery. Ryan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm so excited about this. They didn't say when we're going to get it. They just said we're getting it. And did I share with you the video that I did share with you? I don't know if I just shared the news, but did you see the video with,
I've seen
with the
video.
Three of them? Okay. Yes.
And they're like.
Go ahead.
Oh, they were basically just like, you know, an overwhelming number of you have rallied for this and we're proud to say it worked. and here we come. And I think what you were going to say is Anson Mount was full on Shaggy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's just like from when he was on Hell on Wheels. But I love that they close out. Well, there's really one more thing left to say, isn't it? Because that's how, you know, he tells him to go into warp. But yep. I just, yeah, it was awesome. I'm so excited about this. Like, we've been talking for years. Like, we want a new Star Trek show. We got Discovery, and we didn't hate it, but it wasn't the Star Trek show we wanted. And then we got, you know, the Orville, and it's like, this is the Star Trek show that we wanted. And then we got Discovery Season 2, and it was like, okay, that's the Star Trek show I want with Captain Pike. Like, I want to see his adventures. And yeah. Now we're going to get 10 years before the first Star Trek series. And I really think the only way they can end this, like, once the show starts, really the only way they can end it is if we meet a young, you know, James Tiberius Kirk, and then he eventually yep. takes over being the captain of the ship. And it right. somehow leads right into the new series, the original series.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I love how my first thought is, how do we end the show that I want to watch?
Right. Makes sense, though. Because, I mean, you know, we know yeah. where it's going. We know where exactly. it's been. So, yeah.
Twilight Zone, Season 2, June 25th.
Yeah. Kind of glad I stuck with my CBS All Access. I mean, I haven't been watching it at all, but it'll be nice to be able to watch those shows.
Yeah, I don't have it right now, but I'll get it when Twilight Zone's all the episodes are on there. I'll pick up another month. So, speaking of June, the new Walker Texas Ranger reboot called Walker with Jared Padalecki starts filming in June.
Boo.
And apparently coming in January next year on the CW, a new version of Kung Fu, the David yeah. Carradine show.
Yeah, with a female monk.
Yeah, with a female lead this time. So, but it is in continuity with Kung Fu, and Kung Fu the Legend continues and everything. So.
Yep.
You got some news?
I do. For one, I wanted to say I looked it up after we talked last week. CW did grab Swamp Thing, but all they did was grab the first season. They haven't said if they're going to move forward with a second season or not.
Yeah, fair enough.
And on that note, I believe Stargirl airs this week. I don't know if I'm going to either. I'm interested in the Injustice League. Like, they've got four or five of them already there. So I'm kind yes. of interested in that, but I don't know. There's not going to be a lot on pretty soon here. And we're, I know for me, I'm burning through most of the shows that I'm trying to do one week at a time. And, you know, pretty soon I'm going to have nothing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but.
Right. I hear you. We'll just have shorter episodes, apparently.
Yep. AMC, which automatically makes me go, ugh, because, yep. you know, the Walking Dead network. They've acquired the rights to Anne Rice's two iconic supernatural book series, The Vampire Chronicles and The Mayfair Witches.
Mm.
Which, I don't know what The Mayfair Witches is, but The Vampire Chronicles, of course, that's Interview with the Vampire is what it's most famous for. Vampire Lestat, yep. Queen of the Damned. So, they'll be doing that. I don't know if that is good or not. I already talked about Umbrella Academy 2. Oh, so Katie Sackhoff is coming to The Mandalorian now.
Oh, yes. I did see that.
And she's going to be playing Bo-Katan Kryze, which yes. was the leader of Mandalore from the Clone Wars TV series. She did the voice of it, and now she's going to be doing the character, which is really cool and probably really pisses off the voice actor, actress who did Ahsoka Tano, knowing that she's not going to be there.
I just gave him a, who cares, shoulder yeah. shrug.
Yeah. You
know, I'm glad to see Katie Sackhoff at it, because I'm a big fan of hers. And yep. We're getting Boba Fett, so I mean.
Yeah. I'm so excited for this coming season. Yeah. Not just because of these characters, but because the first season was so good.
And it just sucks. Everything is delayed. Everything is going to be delayed.
I know. Last piece of news that I have, which is kind of interesting, and I wrote the news down earlier in the week, and now it's progressed even more. So the original story was that George Miller, his next movie project is going to be a Furiosa movie. It's going to be a prequel to the Mad Max movie that we saw, and we're going to see Furiosa before she met up with Max.
All right.
But they said Charlize Theron wouldn't be playing the character. Now, today, they announced that the person who seems to be in talks right now to play the role of Furiosa is Jodie Comer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I can get behind that.
I can, too. I think she'd be a cool, badass Furiosa.
I think so.
She's a great serial killer.
Yes, she is.
So, yeah.
Next.
I think that's all that I've got for news.
Okay. Yeah, I don't... I'm all done, too, so...
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, that's the show, then, I guess. You can find us on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you later.